Hi everybody, welcome to Wrong Term Memory. As always, it's me, Jack.
And it's me, Colin. Hello, hello. How are you, Jack?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, thank you. Enjoyed last week talking about Glasgow and Glasgow nutters and Glasgow eccentrics and a little bit about good TV that hopefully some of you have watched since now. And you can let us know in the comments what you thought, obviously, if you did get around to watching that. The old baby reindeer, etc.
I would also add to that, sorry, just to jump in, I know last week I never mentioned it, but there is a BBC show called Blue Lights, which is a cop show set in Belfast.
Right, okay.
It's a procedural type cop show, a 6-part BBC thing that you would expect, but reasonably enjoyable.
Okay.
If you've nothing else to watch, tune into Blue Lights. Thought that was all bad.
I was going to watch that, but I don't think I will if it's a procedural.
Like, when I say procedural, that's not what I mean.
Right.
Like, okay. A procedural is CSI or...
a different story every week type thing is what a procedural...
Yeah, no, it's not that. So I've used the wrong term there. It's an ongoing drama.
I don't watch any procedurals, really, because it's just... I don't think 45 minutes or an hour is enough to tell a story.
See, when I think about procedurals, I think about, like... a CSI or something that is the same storyline. There's maybe an underlying storyline, but it's like there's a murder, go out and they CSI it and then they figure it out at the end.
Yeah, it's like case of the week.
Yeah, so it's not like that at all.
Right, okay, cool.
It's not like that.
Okay,
so it's not a procedural, it's like a 6-part drama.
Right, okay. Yeah, I'll give it a go then. I think there's a season one to watch first, isn't there?
There's a season one, yeah.
Right,
yeah, it's good, man. It's good.
On right.
So we left it with like we lead the raver and stuff like that last week. So more specifically, like people, Glaswegian myths, whereas we're going to move on to like urban legends this week. So I'm pretty sure, again, I've not looked at this list, but like killer clowns, for example, for people our age, mid-30s, early 40s, that'd have been a thing you heard at primary school. There's guys driving about that'll take you away in a white van.
Yeah.
So that sort of stuff. Right. So I found a list, 15. Well, we might not get through all of them. There'll be some here that we've not heard of. There'll be some here that we can probably speak about a little bit more. So we'll just dive in here, Colin, mate. How about that?
Let's do it. So the first one is about Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum, and it's the myth, rumour or belief that it was actually built back to front by mistake. They had the plans round the wrong way when they were reading it, and the myth actually goes as far as to say that as well as it being built from back to front, that one of the architects who blamed himself for this mistake threw himself off one of the towers upon realising this. But according to this website, this is far from the truth. The main entrance faces away from Argyle Street and into Kelvin Grove Park, as it was always meant to be a space for the people. So I would have swore blind, Jack, that this was true, and it was built the wrong way around, because I've been told that before and just believed it. But according to this website, it is just a myth, and it's not true.
The thing that popped something in my memory there was the architect killing himself for some reason.
Yeah, that's the bit you would hold on to.
I don't remember it being because it was back to front. I just remember hearing they killed himself for some reason. When was the last time you were at Kelvin Grove Art Gallery? Can you remember?
2 years ago.
How long?
I took Jessica about 2 years ago. My daughter, that is, for him to listen.
Okay, what's it like? Because the last time I was there was probably 15 years ago.
So what it's like is that it's very good, and there's lots of good stuff to look at if you're into that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not really. But my daughter loved it. She thought it was great. And she likes all that shite, though. So she's
like the Transport Museum. Loved it when I was younger. But it's moved down to the Riverside.
Yeah, we went there on the same day, funnily enough.
It's just, there's something not quite right about it.
So I thought it was cool. But we'd walked around it and seen everything in 10 minutes. I actually enjoyed going out the back door of it and watching the river more. Because I just like watching the River Clyde. I think it's interesting.
And has it still got the 1940s street in it?
Yeah, it's got some of that in there. Yeah, it's got the street. It's got the old...
The subway, the cinema.
Subway, surfing, yeah. It's got all that old stuff, old police cars and all that as well.
Because one of the trams in it was the 59 to Moss Park. And when I stayed in Moss Park, that was still the number of the bus that went through there. It was the 59.
I think that there's a picture of me on one of the trams in there I've got. It might be that one.
They tried to cancel the 59 when I stayed in Moss Park. And there was an uproar against it. But genuinely, any time that I got the 59, I was the only person on it. Nobody got on the 59.
So people were fighting to protect something they don't actually use?
They didn't need... Nobody needed it. Nobody got on it. Nobody used it. But just because it was obviously some sort of historical, the 59 bus or the 59 tram, they really wanted to keep it. And it was obviously run at a loss.
Must have been, aye. Oh, well. Okay. I think when you look at those pictures of Kelvin Grove, the one on the left is the front and the one on the right is the back. But if you're even looking at those, you would think that it's the other way around. The pretty side is the back, and you think that would be the one you'd want at the front.
Yeah, now looking at it, it does look like it is back to the front. That looks like the front. Yeah.
But it's not. It's not. I can see why it was a myth, and I can see why people, including me, believed it.
Number two. Gangsters are buried in the Kingston Bridge. A story no doubt told you you'd be mad uncle or a scary-looking guy in a pub. There's a very slim chance of this even possible, given that most of the Kingston Bridge is hollow. Diehard supporters of the myth would proclaim that if not the Kingston Bridge, then other parts of the M8 or M74 are littered with bodies. This seems unlikely. Yeah, it does seem unlikely. But I remember watching... Oh, no, here we go. I remember watching Let's Drill Down into the Absolute Facts here. Something.
Right.
About a building getting built, and it wasn't that they would drop people into it, but like the lunch wrappers and like shit like that, they would just throw it down.
Yeah.
So like in the middle of the concrete, there's going to be like cheese sandwiches and stuff like that. So
that happens a lot with new built houses. People buy a new built house, and a year or so later, they get a gardener in to actually do their garden, and they start like using a spade and a fork to get it all flat and stuff like that. And just like 50 cans of Iron Brew is under the grass and 50 packets of Kit Kat and stuff like that that's just been tossed every day.
You've got to imagine it can't make that big a difference structurally. You know, like otherwise they'd be specifically told not to do it.
Yeah. I think it's just I don't think it's doing any harm. I think it's just a lack of respect thing. I think if you buy £250,000 brand new home, and you guys just were building it, just fucked their Kit Kats and their Watsits and their Coca-Cola packets just to use it as rubble for your garden.
Lizzie bastards, yeah.
Yeah, so probably not gangsters buried in the Kingston Bridge. This is one I've heard before. The Secret Underground Argyle Arcade. So Argyle Arcade, famous for its jewellery shops now. It's where everybody goes when they get engaged to look at rings and stuff. And there's a popular urban legend that there's an exact replica of Argyle's arcade deep below the surface, or perhaps the above-ground shopping centre that we use now is the replica and the one underneath it is the actual original. These rumours vary from odd council schemes to forgotten Victorian city planning. So there could be some truth in this, because you've probably heard, Jack, there is an old village which Glasgow City Centre was basically built over the top of.
I don't know the ins and outs of it, no.
I think it's called Grahamston or Grahamston.
Right, okay.
And round about Central Station in particular, there's quite a lot of, like, on the floor, there's little, like, you know, instead of bricks in the pavement, you sometimes get those little glass bits and stuff.
Right, okay.
And you can actually look down and you can see streets below and stuff like that where... It originally was Grahamston. It's quite interesting. If you Google Glasgow and Grahamston, it is quite amazing that there's this full, old, abandoned village underneath Central Station, basically.
Yeah, see, I remember years ago buying my mum and my stepfather like a underground, like, central tour.
Right, so
So you can go down for like 15 quid and there'll be like a tour guide that will like sort of walk you through it. So there is stuff under there. Yeah. So I can see why that would happen. The thing that comes to my mind when it comes to the Argyle Arcade is the hat shop.
Right.
So they used to have the hat shop that would sell the slasher hats, the broken glass hats, the Ned hats way back in the day.
Yeah, the lightning hats, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and it was like you were kind of like putting your life in your own hands up on a Saturday afternoon or whatever, if you were going up to maybe about to get a hat. Because if you walked out of something, it was probably just going to try and take it off you.
Taxed.
Taxed.
Taxed, bumped, MOT'd. It was gone. What's this next one, Jack?
Don't know. The Gorbo Vampire. Also known as Jenny by the Iron Teeth. The Gorbo's Vampire was a Stephen King-esque escapade. When all the youth of Glasgow were convinced there was a vampire roaming the southern necropolis at night. So again, it probably depends on what age you are here. Rather than avoiding the graveyard, however, in typical Glaswegian fashion, they get tooled up and set about searching for the fictional frightener. Nothing turned up, but rumours about the vampire persisted for years after that. So again, there will be people listening to this show that maybe that rings a bell, maybe.
So I didn't know the story, but I have sat at those traffic lights before in that picture and saw that mural on the wall about the Gorbals vampire. But because I was driving, I didn't grab my phone and start Googling it or anything. So that was quite interesting to hear what the actual story of what it was about.
See, that looks like, I know a lot of these places will look the same, but there used to be a nightclub called The Unit that was like under one of these bridges type things. So like, see when you're looking at this Gobbles vampire, see like if you went to the right and the traffic lights are there.
Yeah.
See if you went under, this looks exactly like it. See if you went under that bridge, took a right, there was a big massive fence and they would let you in and there was like a underground nightclub there.
Pretty cool. It was
like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was in the archway, in each of these archways, there was different little things going on. There was a Rangers supporters club that used to one of them.
Uh-huh. So well, it might not be this exact place, but those places used to, it was bad because like, obviously it was like illegal to have a club night or whatever in these places, but there was like wee windows almost like at the arches. And if you did walk past it, you would see the blue flashing lights coming out just out of this random wee place. And I just don't know how the police never just... They might have invaded it when I wasn't there, but it just seemed like it was dead obvious that there's something illegal going on there because the lights are flashing like fucking at 4 a.m.
No, it's madness. Have you ever, just on a similar thing, I noticed this week on, you know, the app Telegram?
The WhatsApp thing, yeah.
If you go on Telegram and you can go to the Friends tab, and then on that there's a button that says Find Friends Around Me.
Oh.
And Telegram just starts searching and it finds anybody who uses Telegram in your area and it brings up their name, their profile and all that sort of stuff.
Oh.
If you do it, you'll just automatically be given a plethora of drug dealers.
See, like you pointed this out on in our WhatsApp group.
Yes.
And so I decided to just do it, right? So I went in, saying find people nearby. Now, see the list that you photoshopped, screenshotted and sent to the chat. And every single person was like, the wee snowflake emoji, the wee pill emoji, the wee weed emoji. Like basically every single one of those people near you was that. I did this the other day. And I'd say out of the about 50 people that were in my area or near me, only about 2 or 3 of them were these drug dealer type people. So I think it obviously depends where you stay, mate.
Okay.
So you've got Paul right next to you or whatever, like.
Yeah.
I stay in Paisley, so there's like lots of fucking shite holes near me. But yeah, I didn't see, it wasn't as full on as yours.
I was looking at a flat in Paisley this week, by the way.
Like, see, years ago, I'd never have said this. I'd have said Paisley's a shithole, but now I stay here. It's all right, man. Like, yeah. Where I stay is quiet as fuck. It really is.
Well, I saw a pretty cool flat.
What was the postcode? Was it 1, 2, 3, or 4?
I can't remember. It's next to our church, and it's just 2 minutes away from the train station.
Probably PA2, that's a nice area. Yeah. Well. There's going to be people that hate me for saying that, but...
Right, what have we got next here? Who have we got now? Ibrox's bottomless pothole.
So is this the next page?
Yeah, according to local legend, or perhaps just a tall tale spun one too many times in a Southside pub, there's a bottomless pothole at Ibrox. Some version of the tale even claim that small, unidentifiable creatures have been seen to emerge from the infinite roadwell that live in it. There is a picture of it, and it is a fucking massive, massive pothole.
Surely that's just a generic pothole picture. That's not the specific bottomless one, is it? Oh, fuck knows.
But yeah, there's an Ibrox pothole. There's the clown vans next, Jack. Those are your favourites.
Yeah, so that's number 6. So I think most people will know about this. Killer clowns driving about. See, this is mid to late 2010s. That's now, like, when we were in primary school, it would have been 90.
Keep reading.
All right. The rumour, all right, 80s and 90s, it originates back in, right, okay. The tale specifically that clowns would abduct children in a blue van and cut them off. Wherever it originated, it spread like wildfire across the primary schools of Glasgow and then turned into a true urban legend. So, yeah, I think that's one that people from ages 50s to early 20s will have heard then.
Yeah, definitely a thing. It just even just a threat to behave sort of thing.
But who's threatening you to behave?
I think that even like sometimes like your parents would do it sort of thing. Wouldn't they like behave?
I don't imagine my ma ever saying to me, here, don't be a wee dick or there'll be a killer clown come and take you away in a blue van.
Behave your butt in a clown van. That sort of thing. I don't know.
Actually, that's a big one that I'd imagine most people know. The next one, Glasgow's ghost bus.
Yes, it's believed that one night a bus disappeared into the night in Glasgow, never to be seen again. The tale changes depending on who's telling it, but the one constant is that the bus ran through the terminus stop at Balmarnock East. From time to time, the bus will show up on the live departures board, but will never arrive at its destination.
And then there's a sneaky wee joke at the end. Yeah. So it's no too different for a normal Glasgow bus. don't remember that one. Dalmarnock Road Bridge ghostly apparition. So again, this obviously depends on if you come from anywhere near Dalmarnock. But this one's supposedly particularly spooky. Surely dozens of people have reported seeing the ghostly woman of the Dalmarnock Bridge. She steps over the side and plunges into the water on certain nights.
Never seen that one.
I've never heard of that one. Never seen that one. Nope. Right, next page. Fuck off. Continue with ad blocker.
The Paisley Witch's Curse.
Right, okay, this is one that I should be into nowadays, yeah.
Well, over in Paisley, 7 people were executed one afternoon upon suspicion of being witches after an upper-class child accused them of bewitching her. It said the witches left a curse on the town and that if the horseshoe in the memorial was ever to be removed, terrible bad luck would fall upon Paisley.
Aye. That horseshoe must have been removed ages ago, man. people are going to be upset that I'm slagging Paisley.
This next one, 2 words you'd never think to put together before.
Oh, Rutherglen and Poltergeist.
Yeah. Rutherglen and Poltergeist.
I love the way it starts. This one is honestly unexplainable, what the rest of them are. One of the only cases in the world in which police witnessed activity that could very well be linked to a poltergeist. Fuck up. From levitating dogs to shaking furniture, it really shook the community of Rutherglen Black in 2016. So it wasn't that long ago, about 8 years ago. It's well worth a read on some of the coverage at the time if you weren't aware of that.
So, what would you do if you came home from work tomorrow and you walked in the front door and Charlie was levitating?
What would I do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, modern day society, I'd probably think grab my phone, take a fucking photo or a video. I don't know.
Yeah, probably right.
Like my dad, like, I think he was half his nut, because, like, he would tell me these stories when I was young, and, like, he always used to kid on and shit like that, but there was two things that he would swear down on his life that happened, and right. One of them, he was in the merchant navy for years and years and years, and one of his workmates was working on, like, doing the engines or something, and his arm got caught in, like, a gear and got ripped off, and he died.
Oh, Jesus.
He said, my dad was like, honestly, Jack, see the next day, I seen this ghostly apparition walking towards me without an arm.
Jesus.
I was like, okay, I don't know why you would tell me that unless you were absolutely like sleep deprived or something. But other one that he told me was he got called to an exorcism in Govan.
Fucking hell, mate.
Right, and he swore to me on his life that he walked in Govan, and there was a bed with a guy in it just floating about the room. And he bothered her. Fuck sake. So maybe that was the Govan poltergeist, maybe back then. But he swore on his life, basically.
Don't scroll down yet, Jack. Have you scrolled down yet? No,
no, not yet. No,
right, don't scroll down. I'm going to read this one to see if you can guess what it is, right.
Right, okay.
Back in World War II, Clydebank was a major target for the Blitz campaign.
Uh-huh.
And the story goes that a hole was blown into the pitch. But rather than fill it in with expensive ground and turf, they would fill it with much less expensive material. What do you think the thing they're claiming they used to fill in this hole was?
Right.
And they say it's still underneath Clydebank football pitch just now.
So it's less expensive than what?
It's less expensive than getting somebody to come and actually just dig and fill it with proper ground and sand. And
But that's mad, because what's less expensive than, like, the ground? So I don't know, mate. Like, I don't know, because the ground and mud and shit like that, that's in the ground, it's free. So yeah. Just, like, fill it up with that. So I don't know.
No, what they did instead was they drove an old double-decker bus into it and filled the hole with that. And then they just put turf around the rest of the bus and sold it.
Oh, fuck me.
They claim that bus is still underneath Clydebank Football Club's pitch.
I've probably told this story many times. Like, when I was 6 or 7 and I wanted to get a football top, my mum, like, she kind of thought that 80s football hooliganism was, like, just the general thing. Yeah. She's like, you're not getting that Rangers top because some Celtic fan will attack you and murder you when you're 5 years old. I was like, oh no. So I got a Clydebank top.
Right.
That was my first football strip, and they were sponsored at the time by Wet, Wet, Wet.
Yeah, they were. Wet, Wet, Wet. That's pretty cool.
So that was I wish I still had it, but
yeah, it's worth quite a bit of money now, I think, that top.
I would imagine. But yeah, I got it from at the time it was the Govan Market, and it was the Clydebank strip, and it was Wet, Wet, Wet. It was like yellow and white.
I remember it. Maybe. I remember seeing it quite recently, actually. I think somebody was selling one. What's this about an elephant?
There's an elephant buried underneath Kelvin Bridge subway station. Is that right? The title says it all. This is not true in the slightest, just so you know. What is true, however, is that a hippo was buried in a small island across from the car park in River Kelvin. Why? Apparently. See, you can't say this thing happened and then say apparently, but apparently the museum received the carcass of a hippo, and rather than let it rot in the warehouse, they buried it in the islands in the River Kelvin across from the car park to let the nature strip the beast of all but its bones. You can see the hippo skull today in Kelvin Hall. Wait a minute, can you? I'm just going to Google Kelvin skull.
Kelvin skull.
What is this hippopotamus skull doing? Oh, so there is a big skull hanging in Kelvin Hall, it looks like. Anyway, I remember, again, years and years ago, as I sort of, I was talking about the unit being a place that you would go after hours for a party.
Right.
Like, do you remember where the old transport museum was?
Was it Scotland Street or something like that?
Yeah, like just like, not that far from Kelvin, the other museum.
Yeah.
See, if you walk, like, imagine you came out there and you walk down the stairs and you turn left. See, if you walk down about half a mile, there was like a big underground tunnel thing.
Ah, right, okay.
I remember going to an after party in there, and it was fucking pitch black. And this was like kind of before your iPhone torches and stuff. So you were like stumbling down this like dark lane, and you got to a place, and there was a party going on, like with all sorts of techno music, dance music, and there was a single light bulb hanging from the roof, and it was the only light in the place. So there was a light bulb, pitch black, and about 500 people in this
Jesus.
Underground hall type thing. And what a fucking good time I had.
It's mad to even just think about that, but fair play. Wouldn't be for me.
No, it would not, mate. It would not. Right, two or three more to go. Right, Colin, you take this one.
Bar in Glasgow claims to be the home of the real Stone of Destiny. The Arlington Bar in Glasgow claims to be the home of the real Stone of Destiny after a University of Glasgow student stole the actual Stone of Destiny from Westminster Abbey in 1950. The National students were forced to return the Stone of Scone, but rumour has it that they switched out the stone and placed the real one in the Arlington Bar for safekeeping, which is proudly displayed there to this day.
Okay. There's some chalkboards outside of the Arlington Bar when this picture was taken.
Yeah.
Which I think a bottle of beer is. You can see it, obviously.
Yeah, fuck me. £1.50. You'd take that just now in the pub.
You would indeed. I've not heard a lot about the... I don't know if I'm getting mixed up with the Stone of Scone or another stone that Glasgow University student stole at some point.
I don't know.
Oh, fuck, I think this,
this stone
stupid of nationalist cunts.
Just to get close to the end here.
Aye.
Just read number 14, see what you think of it.
Right, the real reason that Glasgow Science Centre Tower is always shut. Rumour has it that Glasgow Tower at the Science Centre is actually shut all the time because the council are using it to summon a dark demon. Of course. From the depths of hell to help sort out Glasgow's budget deficit.
Yeah, there's someone.
Right, it's quite good, that one, to be fair.
Come and do that Excel speech.
Maybe we just made that one up, though. That's quite funny.
And then this last one for us. An upside-down bottle of Iron Brew would make the taximeter go faster.
Right. No, go.
This is a commonly held belief, particularly with the older generation, with absolutely no reasoning behind it. Maybe something with to do with the metal content in the drink interfering with the meter. Everyone has had the suspicions, in all fairness, but we believe that if you put the Iron Brew upside down, it will make the meter on the taxi go slower.
I went into a shop round the corner from our work the other day, and you remember that you used to be able to return ginger bottles?
Yeah, you can't do it with bars ones anymore.
Can't do it with a bars one, but there was like, you know how the crates that held 12 bottles?
Yeah.
I walked into the shop and they were honestly stacked roof high, just empty bottles of...
Curly's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Empty bottles of... empty glass bottles of juice. Not the bars ones, but the other ones. Yeah.
The Red Cola and the Dunn's Aid and the
Dunn's.
Summer.
That's exactly what it was the Dunn's.
Those drinks. So
good. Dunn's Aid... is smashing.
Yeah. All good stuff. I love it.
Right, I'm just going to to get this up to just over half an hour, I'm just looking at the breaking news on GlasgowWorld.com.
Okay.
here we go. Politician charged in finances probe. Nice. But I want to click on this one. Legendary rocker dies.
So I'm not sure who this could be. I've not heard of anybody dying today yet.
Dickie Betts is dead.
Oh, never heard of him.
guitarist, singer, songwriter of Allman Brothers Band dies aged 80.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, but shite story. Politician's husband rearrested. Okay. That seems like the that links into the first story about being a
crook.
Thieving crook. Yep.
Allegedly. That's allegedly, of course.
Allegedly, yeah. But he's been arrested fucking twice, so.
Yeah, allegedly.
Okay. BBC comedian Charlie Hitchin shares pay slip. Did we speak? We spoke about this on.
We did. We spoke about an RPR with David.
Right, so I want to see if I got the story right.
I bet you didn't.
No, probably not. Okay. It says log in. I don't want to fucking log in. I'm just going to actually Google that to get the actual thing that I don't know. £18.84. Yeah.
Maybe you were right. Fair play.
Yeah. So you get 18 quid for the fascio.
That's amazing. So it's only played on UK Gold maybe twice a year.
Well, see, that's the thing. So, like, I would imagine at the time, like, BBC would have bought that or owned that. No? I don't really know how it works.
It depends if it was made by a production company or not. If it's made by a production company, they don't own it. The production company does, which is how they're able to then, like, sell it and stuff.
So it's kind of like the BBC Studios thing nowadays.
Yeah, that's different. They're actually playing an active part in the making of the show and the producing and all that sort of stuff.
So that's why, like, know how they release it every year, BBC presenters'
salaries,
wages. Yeah. And that's why people like Claudia Winkleman, Alan Sugar and stuff aren't part of that, because it's BBC Studios rather than BBC that make it.
That's
otherwise,
right.
You'd probably think, how the fuck does Claudia Winkleman make fucking £1.8 million a year or whatever?
Best show on the telly.
They're doing one that nobody gives a fuck about, which is a celebrity one.
Yeah, they're definitely doing a celebrity one. And it's just going to be weird. I don't know how they're going to do it, because
it's going to be shit.
You also think the celebrities don't need the money.
That's the whole point. Like, what's the fucking... What is the point? And a celebrity version of it. There's no point.
We can moan about it all night long, but we'll still watch it.
I won't watch the celebrity one because the American one with Alan Cummins.
Yeah.
That included like kind of minor American celebrities.
Yeah.
And as soon as I knew that like fucking Julie was part of Real Housewives of fucking Atlanta, it was like, well, I don't. Like, who cares that they're on it? It needs to be 15 people that need the money or don't care, or it's they're not furthering their career.
Yeah.
They just want to win the money. And the last one there where the guy won it was... Have we spoke about this?
About...
The very last episode of the most recent one where the young boy won it.
I don't think we have.
So,
why don't we save it for next week?
Because we're only at 33 minutes, right? So we may as well give them another minute or two.
Okay.
I have no idea. Like, there was the three of them left. So there was the young guy, the young girl. Did she maybe only have one arm?
I can't remember. I can't think.
So let me explain this to you and see if it kickstarts a memory. So there was the guy that won it.
Right.
There was the sort of Asian guy. And then there was the young lassie, the young blonde girl who totally fell for the guy that won it.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah,
so it came to the end and they throw in the red or the green bit. Like to move on. And the Asian guy, he threw in like red to continue.
Yeah.
And see if the girl just thought about it. There was no reason at all why he would do that unless he was a faithful.
Yeah, that's true.
But yet she fell for...
She was punch drunk.
She was punch drunk with the young guys.
Yeah. Because
the young guy's like, it's not me.
She loved them.
But she genuinely, just for 10 seconds, thought he could have... Because if he would have thrown in a green at that time, he would have took all the money by himself.
Yeah.
This is way back months ago, but it just came back to me now.
But when you're, I think the thing to remember is when you're watching it on the telly, you're not there. You're not feeling the pressure. You're able to take things like in a lot more better and stuff like that. Whereas,
but even then, like, what would you call it? Just game theory, whatever.
Yeah,
there was 100% no reason for the third guy to throw in what he did.
Not logically, no.
No, there was no logical reason for him to do it, because if he would have flung in the other colour, he would have walked away with it all.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I suppose that's just the magic of the game. You just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to believe who, and you don't know who's going to trust who, who's going to forget that part. That's why it's probably
but
the best.
But then when fucking it's some country Hollyoaks versus somebody from The Only Way Is Essex versus somebody from Big Brother, at the end, nobody cares about it. I don't understand how they can make a celebrity version of it. I don't get it.
All I'll say is that I want more traitors in my life rather than less traitors in my life. And if this gets me a second season in the summer every year, then I'll cope with it. And you know what? I'll probably enjoy it. They'll make it work. It's too big a show for the BBC to fuck it up.
But like I said, it's the American version, when it was like these half celebrities, I just turned it off after it.
But the American version is its own show, though. Like, it doesn't have any impact.
They've done the whole same thing, but the whole sort of fucking lining up and shit like that. Like,
I just don't
understand why a celebrity version holds. I get the celebrity Big Brother. I get the celebrity Bake Off. I get that. I don't get how a celebrity traitors works at all. Because
it'll probably be for charity. I mean, it'll be about winning money for your charity, I guess.
But even then, who cares? All right.
You probably have a charity in your life that you care enough about that you would...
But it won't be for... Well, if it's anything again like the Alan Cummins one, there's no charity thing. There's just a...
But that American one isn't all celebrities. There's some normal people in it as well.
But that kind of made it even worse.
Yeah.
Then it was like half celebrity, half normal people.
Listen, you're speaking to the wrong guy, Jack. I watch the French version with subtitles. So I'll watch any iteration of this program, any iteration whatsoever. It's so celebrities. I'd watch fucking Doug's playing it. So it's just, I just love
it. I'd rather watch Doug's playing it than fucking celebrities. To be honest. But. Yeah. Anyway, we're talking about something that was on about fucking 6 months ago, so that's what you get when you subscribe to Wrong Term Memories Patreon.
Yeah, that is exactly it, 100%.
Yeah, we'll just wrap it up there. Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed that, mate. It's always good chatting, and it's always good chatting to the Wrong Term Memory people who we all know, the ones listening to this, especially the ones listening to it now on the Patreon feed, are the good people. They are the good people.
And we will get to other suggestions. So I'm not going to be putting a shout out for suggestions in the next couple of weeks, because Rab got a two-parter out of a simple suggestion. So we'll do the rest of you guys in the next couple of weeks. But as always, cheers for tuning in, and we will speak to you soon.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Bye.
Calling, I personally don't think there's anybody still listening, and if they are, they're pretty hardcore Wrong Term Memory fans, and I would be expecting them to go and sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/wrongtermmemory or by clicking the link in the show notes.
Absolutely. And if for whatever reason they can't do that and paying for content isn't their bag, they can still offer us continual support by leaving a rating and a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.